Good crowd.
Yeah.
Good morning. We're delighted you could join us this morning. This is truly an exciting time to be a Western New Yorker. We're experiencing a tremendous period of opportunity and promise. We're very fortunate to have a governor who recognizes the critical opportunities at stake in our city and region. And he and his administration have acted on this potential by committing substantial state resources to our great city and region. Because of this historic level of state support, we are turning a definite corner in Buffalo and Western New York. Over more than a year, the Regional Council has been working to develop thoughtful, long-range investment strategies designed to capture this momentum and sustain it for generations to come. The moment of opportunity we are experiencing today is one most of us could not have imagined a few years ago. Getting to this moment has depended on the collaboration and commitment of a broad range of regional partners across the public and private sectors, from education, healthcare, business, and industry. And we could not have reached this moment without the strong support and vision of our elected leadership in the state. It's Governor Cuomo and his administration who set the tone and example for that leadership at the highest level. As we begin, I would like to recognize the Strategic Implementation Assessment Team members, Cesar Perales, Secretary of State, Daryl Albertine, Commissioner, Department for Agriculture and Markets, Thomas Matox, Commissioner, Department of Tax and Finance, Matt Driscoll, President and CEO, Environment Facilities Corporation, and Rowan Destito, Commissioner, Office of General Services. It is my pleasure now to introduce Lieutenant Governor Robert Duffy, who has played a key role in helping to guide this period of unprecedented progress and the state investment. I have had the pleasure of working with the Lieutenant Governor over the past year and a half in my role as co-chair of the Western New York Regional Economic Council. The leadership and incredible enthusiasm he and Governor Cuomo have both shown for the Western New York region are having a tremendous impact. We are honored to have them both with us today. Lieutenant Governor.
Thank you, Satish. Good morning. Let's get right to it. It's in the high 60s, December 4th in Buffalo. The Bills won, and Governor Cuomo's in the house. Let's get better than that. Come on. Some acknowledgments first before the comments. We have many elected officials. First, our host mayor, Mayor Byron Brown. I want to thank the mayor. Our host County Executive Mark Poloncarz. This may take a while, but I'm going to go through it quickly. Senator Mike Ranzenhofer. Senator, you can hold the applause. Senator Pat Galvin is here. Senator George Maziarz. Senator Mark Resante. Senator Tim Kennedy. Assemblymember Robin Schiminger. Assemblyman Dennis Skaberzak. Assemblyman John Cerreto. Assemblywoman Jane Corwin. Assemblyman Michael Kearns. Assemblyman Ray Walters. Assemblymember Sean Ryan. We have Paul Dysart, the mayor of Niagara Falls, Mayor Sam Teresi from the city of Jamestown, County Executive Greg Edwards from Chautauqua County, Curtis Crandall, the chair of the Allegheny County Legislature, William Ross, chair of the Niagara County Legislature, Richard Fontana, president of the Buffalo City Council, Mark Schroeder, controller of the city of Buffalo, and I believe that's all the electeds. If I missed anybody, I apologize. And also Ken Adams, who's our president and CEO of Empire State Development. I want to welcome all of them. First, to Satish Tripathia and Howard Zemsky, who I'll introduce momentarily. I want to thank them and this council for their leadership. But the most important thing, I want to take you back just a few weeks ago. We had one of the worst storms and disasters in the state's history. Our governor has been at the forefront down in New York City and downstate, at the front leading this state. With all the issues that he has faced, including a visit yesterday to our nation's capital looking for aid for New York, he found time to be here today. The governor is the one who has created these regional councils. The governor is the man who ended up investing and promising $1 billion for the city of Buffalo. And this whole process today is a compilation of the leadership in this community coming together to work toward this and putting forth their proposals today in terms of how that money would be invested. This is transformational. This is unheard of across the state. And if anyone ever doubts the governor's confidence in Buffalo and upstate New York, they should never doubt that. This is an investment that I think is, again, never has been done before, but the one byproduct that I think is worth noting is here in Buffalo and this region, as well as around the state, the leadership that worked on this plan, that works in the councils, before the governor made these changes with the regional councils and made this effort with the Buffalo Billion, I would venture a guess that the men and women around the table have not worked together like this before. It has brought people together from all areas. It really is about relationships and change that is going to go far beyond this investment and will bring change for decades to come. So I congratulate all of you for the very hard work that you've done. And I want to make sure I just note that this governor has stepped up and made investment in this city that, to me, everyone around the state and even parts of this country are watching what happens here. This is something that everybody is looking to Buffalo and Western New York to see what happens with this investment, and today we get a chance to hear that. So I congratulate the governor for his confidence and what he has done in transforming the economy of the state. Congratulate, again, everybody who has worked very, very hard on this. And now our next speaker is the other co-chair, Howard Zemsky and Satish Tripathia. I just would say these two gentlemen have done an extraordinary job leading this effort. They have no ego. They are about leaders. They are about bringing people together, getting the job done. They have done a tremendous job. And so please welcome our next speaker, Howard Zemsky.
Thank you, Lieutenant Governor. Governor, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for your outstanding commitment, once-in-a-lifetime commitment to Western New York. You know, it's been an amazing experience to be in this seat for the last year and a half since the inception of the Regional Economic Development Councils. And I just want to take a minute to talk about how economic development from our seats is different today than it was 2 years ago in what I would describe as three most important ways. One, economic development in New York State now is now decentralized, right? So it's locally conceived plans and locally implemented. That seems like it's totally logical and should have been done like that for years, but that's not the case. It's collaborative. So in our council, for example, and a thread that ran through our entire process, we have private sector, public sector, academia, community organizations, and foundations all working together. So Western New York's working together in a way that it hasn't, that I'm aware of, ever. And let's face it, we all need our oars in the water rowing in the same direction in order to realize our potential. So economic development delivery, from our standpoint, has gone through a 180-degree sea change for the better. And on behalf of the council and everyone who's participated in this, I just want to say thank you so much for the opportunity to participate and to participate in a format that has such meaningful input. We appreciate it tremendously. Our plan for the $1 billion focuses on sustainability and the long term. There are, as we know in Western New York, no quick fixes to what's now 50 years of economic challenges. There's no silver bullets. We've learned that the hard way. In the global economy that we compete in, we have to build the strength of our economic ecosystem. We need skilled workers. We need entrepreneurs. We need investors, researchers. We need visionaries, anchor institutions, and we need world-class infrastructure. That's how we compete globally, which is what this is all about. Our plan is fact-based, benefited from unprecedented analysis and research. You gave us a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, Governor, and I think we've delivered a once-in-a-lifetime effort. And I want to take a moment to thank everyone around the table, many hundreds of people who have participated as subject matter experts in this process, the UB Regional Institute, Brookings, McKinsey. This has been an amazing effort, and it's been a tremendous source of pride to be involved in it as we have. Our presentation focuses on three primary sectors: life sciences, manufacturing, and tourism. But you should know that our economy has a number of other vital sectors, including agriculture, including binational logistics, including energy, education, professional services. So we in no way mean to diminish the important impact of those sectors. We will continue to support and grow those sectors wholeheartedly. But after a tremendous amount of diligence and research, these are the three sectors that are identified as having the greatest opportunity to provide jobs and wealth creation in our region. So we're going to have presentations that focus on them. Those presentations are going to discuss why those sectors are important. They're going to talk about some of the obstacles that we've incurred from realizing our full potential and talk about some of the initiatives that we are putting in place in order to unleash the economic potential of those sectors. So with that as a setup, I'm going to introduce Dr. Andrew Rudnick, from the president of the Buffalo-Niagara Partnership, and Marty Berardi, president of Moog Medical Device Group. And they're going to take us through the advanced manufacturing sector.
Nice tee up, Howard. Marty and I decided that Governor and Lieutenant Governor, the way we would start is to define advanced manufacturing. And we thought maybe the simplest way to do so is to say that it's something that turns or transforms one thing into another thing. And in many ways, it's our 21st century version of alchemy. And that alchemy can have for this region the type of wealth that alchemy is said to have created in Europe in the Middle Ages several centuries ago. It's a precious asset here. There are 1,500 advanced manufacturing companies in Erie and Niagara counties, which employ over 50,000 people. These are high-paying jobs. These are high-paying jobs with high regional economic multipliers. These are exporting companies, which, as our colleagues from Brookings and McKinsey have reminded us, increasing exports in this country is critical to the future of this country, including the future of this part of the country, our state and this region. And finally, overall, advanced manufacturing is more than 10% of our regional economy. And there are particular subsectors here that are strong by anyone's definition: food processing, medical products, materials, metals, and machinery. And their development has been aided by a number of our region's universities, especially the University of Buffalo and Alfred. But this precious asset is also an endangered one. As with the competitiveness of advanced manufacturing nationwide, there has been a steady decline of jobs, output, and productivity. Plus, one of its critical success factors, an available skilled workforce, now has become an issue. Too many manufacturing jobs, from welders to engineers, have gone unfilled, given a lack of available talent. And the irony in that is we have thousands of people in this community who are looking for jobs. So why is that gap? The work itself has changed. There's the retirement of the baby boomer generation. Excuse me for saying we have school guidance counselors who are misguided, and we don't have enough people interested in STEM-related studies. So the council has come up with this initiative to accelerate the growth of our high-potential advanced manufacturing subsectors, particularly with regard to R&D activity to stimulate technology innovation. And the second track is to improve the competitiveness of all the advanced manufacturing subsectors here, especially through such things as market access, especially exporting. And we are proposing to do so at a level of resources that we have not previously had here, but which does exist in peer acceleration initiatives around the world. And to us, Governor, that is the invaluable contribution of this Buffalo Billion, to increase our stake in the game. And our manufacturing initiative is tied to at least two of the other initiatives you're going to hear about this morning, life sciences and workforce. So that's the why. Marty's going to talk about the what.
Well, thank you for coming and listening to our story. I am going to talk specifically about the facility known as the Advanced Manufacturing Institute. Hopefully, most of what I'll say will dovetail very well with what Andrew has just explained as far as the why. The state-of-the-art facility will be in direct support of the region's manufacturing sector. It's been designed to build on the strengths of advanced manufacturing, as well as build on our history and our DNA. This is a DNA issue. We'll have an expert leadership panel be engaged in guiding each element of the Institute and working with members to support their technological pursuits through execution. Anchor companies, many anchor companies, will be key in providing credibility and viability, along with technical experts and economic organizations. Investments will be required of the member companies over a multi-year plan leading to what is the most important element, full sustainability. We did have a chance to look at a number of models, other places where advanced institutes are located. There are a few organizations that we use to benchmark and help frame up the Advanced Manufacturing Institute that we're looking at. The Fraunhofer Institute in Germany, for one, an outstanding facility who helped many different companies and technical skill sets advance. The IMEC Institute in Illinois are just a few that we researched. All of these models have been successful due to adequate funding and staffing, key elements. A little bit about the Institute itself. Taking a look at the specific plans for the Institute, we have to start with applied R&D. We have a solid technical staffing plan both on and off the Institute proper, managed by very respected technical leadership. Over time, the member companies are anticipated to provide supplemental technical staffing from their own company rosters. Innovation in applied technology is the target of this element and will help in on-scale prototyping, very specific product development, and as Andrew mentioned, market analysis for acceptance. Going around the circle, if we take a look at process excellence, best practices and the most effective way to operationalize the new applied technologies come from this element of the Institute. You could call this the translational piece. I think I heard translational before. Lean activities for producing products efficiently are and will be critical to this success, but also skills in things like sales structures, pricing strategies, positioning are included. We have also considered the need for key project management skills being included for long-term sustainability and the capabilities of the member companies. Another element is the export assistance. Keeping in mind that export doesn't necessarily mean international export. It may mean out of our region, out of our state. So now we have the technology and the product process ironed out. The Institute will then provide needed guidance and expertise in defining customer acquisition, market overview, and help in finding financing. Logistics will also be required to move the product to market, and one of the more intriguing issues are regulations, import and export rules, and regulatory requirements, things that are sort of benign, but very, very critical to being successful. Let's talk about the workforce. You'll hear that a few times. This area, in coordination with other workforce development groups, brings the last bit of the Institute together by providing the true hands-on technical skills to train on the latest advanced equipment that's needed to produce the goods and products for each respective member company. Innovation is the key operative term that describes the need for the latest in machinery and techniques that this Institute should and will provide. A knowledgeable leadership staff will be well informed on the needs of the industries we're focused on, and will make sure that the most advanced equipment has been made available. It's an outcome-driven initiative. Increased competitiveness for the 1,500 or so small and medium-sized companies is the objective. Upskilling, growth, prosperity leading to new sustainable jobs is the target and is intended to be the result of the successful Advanced Manufacturing Institute. A continuing level of resources to pay for this technical expertise and project financing is required. That's the specific difference that's been done in the past. It's very specifically different than what's been done in the past. And frankly, nothing else is envisioned. Less envisioned, I should say. Thank you.
Our region, as you all know, has put a significant stake in the ground around the health and life science industry. We have world-recognized institutions focused on bioinformatics, oncology, vascular disease, and neurosurgery, to name a few. We're proud to have John Como, President and CEO of First Niagara Bank, with us, and Dr. Norman Nowak, Head of Empire Genomics, Founder, and Chief Science Officer.
Thank you very much, Howard. Good morning, Governor, Lieutenant Governor. I want to add my welcome. It's obviously great to have both of you back in town. As Howard just said, I've got the honor this morning of talking health and life sciences, or healthcare on steroids for a banker like me. And why is a banker talking health sciences? Because it's really good business. And I like talking good business, and in particular, what's really good for Buffalo. Healthcare employs more than 70,000 across our region, and almost 20% of those work today on the Buffalo Niagara Medical Campus. Many people know about the great work already happening on the campus. They can see it and touch it. They're witness to the exciting and expanding footprint and infrastructure. They've benefited from the world-class clinical services that are provided there each and every day. But most don't know about the tremendous research being conducted at the GVI, Roswell, UB, and elsewhere across the region. Hundreds of millions of dollars of breakthrough thinking and exploration. And that's what this initiative is all about, linking world-class research and really good business, converting breakthrough thinking to new jobs, creating sustainable revenue streams that will attract fresh investor capital, that will in turn stimulate even more innovative efforts, results, and outcomes. Now, that's not to minimize the strength of the more than 250 life science companies that do business in the region today. Half of those firms are in pharmaceuticals and medical devices and are growing very nicely. But we have the foundation for something much bigger and much better. With the more than $500 million that's been invested in the medical campus over the last several years, and with more than that to come in a new children's hospital, UB Medical School, and Roswell expansion, with the millions of public and private R&D received annually, we're poised and ready for real breakthrough outcomes, which is why this initiative is so important. The Buffalo Science Productivity and Research Catalyzer, SPARC for short, is a real home run. It'll enable us to create a pipeline for commercialization, a launch fund that will capture the value of the best and most marketable research, provide mentoring and coaching and support services to promote real business development, remove barriers to innovation, bring patents to life, connect researchers with industry, turn intellectual properties into jobs, provide opportunities for big business to invest in what our intellectual bright lights are already doing, enable us to attract companies that want a more fertile and vibrant environment for growth, and make the Buffalo-Niagara region a player on the world stage, just as you have already made happen in Albany with nanotech. Your support, the Buffalo Billion, will make this one come to life. And the spark from this initiative will create a real barn burner in the years ahead. New businesses, new jobs, the kind of long-term sustainability Howard referenced in his opening remarks. Make us one of the fastest-growing cities in the U.S. for health and life sciences. And even as a banker, I know that's really good business. Talk more about what that means to those doing the research and making great things happen. I'm pleased to introduce Dr. Norman Nowak.
Thank you, John, and thank you, Governor, for visiting our region. John has raised some of the key issues as to why, despite having a region rich in world-class research institutes, it is still a challenge to create and grow life sciences businesses in Western New York. Let me give you an example using my own life science company, showing that it can be done, but we need to make the path to success easier to achieve and less fraught with obstacles and frustration. We launched Empire Genomics in 2007, just as the economic markets crashed. Despite the lack of availability of additional capital, we persevered, modified our original business plan, and focused on generating revenues early on to sustain the company. The road to profitability was long and winding due to the lack of capital in the markets, but we survived the downturn by leveraging our local institutional assets at the University of Buffalo and the Roswell Park Cancer Institute in order to decrease capital costs, stretching every angel investor dollar to the maximum. And we came out of 2011 as a profitable life science firm. So how did we do this? We took advantage of state-funded programs through Empire State Development Corporation and NYSTAR to add value to our products, as well as the valuable students in our academic institutions as marketing and business development interns. Not the least, I was very lucky to find a talented, creative business executive as the CEO who just happened to come out of a leading life sciences company, Life Technologies, located in our backyard on Grand Island. Mind you, this was all done on the fly in a very ad hoc manner without any formal business support system to enable getting the business off the ground. But what we lacked in capital, we made up for with our passion for the company mission and rooted in my own personal experience to improve how we diagnose and treat cancer patients. It has been one of the hardest things I have ever done, but also very rewarding, and I would do it all over again tomorrow. But this time, with the signature initiatives in health and life sciences, the path will be clearer and easier to travel. Buffalo Spark and the strategic company attraction initiatives formalize and provide solutions to many of the hurdles and detours we had to overcome on our own. These initiatives will create the village that every life science entrepreneur can take advantage of through early stage and proof of principle funding, as well as business development expertise. Equally as important is the recruitment of new companies to our region. We will use our area's strengths to serve as a magnet to attract life science company partners who are synergistic and complementary to our resident companies. Let me give you an example. One of the technology companies we are in discussion with is planning an expansion from 57 to 150 employees over the next 2 years. They have visited Buffalo several times and were very impressed with our capabilities and assets such as the regional medical institutions, HealthyLink, and the computational infrastructure present on the medical campus. Their capabilities and strategic plans make them a natural partner and collaborator for Empire Genomics as well as our members of the medical campus. They see Buffalo as a place that would be a perfect fit to expand their company footprint while minimizing the capital costs to grow here. This is only one of several potential partners that see the assets in Western New York as key ingredients for life science and technology company expansion. Company attraction that is synergistic with our local firms is part of the right formula to successfully increase the number of private sector jobs within the region. Each day I remind myself of a quote ingrained in me by the Jesuits many years ago, and this is for you, Robin, to go forth and set the world on fire, and it can all start with a spark.
Our tourism sector features internationally recognized attractions like Niagara Falls and world-class assets in art, architecture, parks, to name just a few. We also have world-class people leading the way, including our next presenters, Dottie Gallagher Cohen, president of Visit Buffalo Niagara, and the Honorable Mayor Paul Deister.
Good morning, Governor and Lieutenant Governor. Welcome to Buffalo. Tourism is important to our region for many reasons, not the least of which is that it's a significant job creator. About 45,000 people work in our sector right now. And while it's true that entry-level jobs in tourism are not the highest-paying jobs in the sector, they are jobs that put people back into the labor force with minimal training and no real capital investment. And in cities like Buffalo and Niagara Falls, where poverty is an issue, that's a really important asset that's not to be overlooked. In addition, there's a real pathway to prosperity for those people in that five of our local colleges have hospitality programs, all of which have scholarships, so that it is real upward mobility for those people. But what's important here and now to talk to you about is the untapped potential we see in tourism in Western New York for some of the assets we already have here. You're going to hear a lot about Niagara Falls, and we all agree that the state investments in the Niagara Falls Park and surrounding areas and infrastructure are the singular most important and impactful thing the state can do to boost our regional tourism economy. But I do want to take a minute to talk about Buffalo and Buffalo's incredibly rich and dense set of assets that we have here that is relatively untold. Over the past decade, there's been about $380 million of investment in tourism assets here in our region, and that includes the state's investments in the Richardson Complex, the Martin House, and Canal Side, which have all had a very big impact for us. But there is still this tremendous disconnect between what people think about Buffalo and what is actually here. And so I want to ask you, Governor, when you told people you were coming to Buffalo today, despite the fact it's 62 degrees outside, how many people made a snow joke? Did you get a few? That's what we deal with. And the fact of the matter is that among cultural travelers, that we did some research, actually travelers from New York City and Atlanta, we read a question. We said, Buffalo, New York is home to the following. And we listed, you know, the terminus of the Erie Canal, the inaugural site of Teddy Roosevelt, and a number of our other assets, the largest garden walk in the country. And we said, now that you know this about Buffalo, how much more likely would you be to visit? And 90% of those people said yes or maybe. That's really a great opportunity. In our architecture segment, for example, our asset cluster here is as dense as any other place in the country, with the exception of perhaps Chicago. But when people come here to view architecture, they also get to experience Niagara Falls. That is a tremendous, tremendous opportunity. The density of our assets is overshadowed by long-held stereotypes and misperceptions that have held in part due to a long disinvestment in tourism promotion and incredibly bad luck that our major weather event, the Blizzard of 77, occurred during the airing of Roots, which at its time was the most watched television program in history. And so we have firmly embedded snow equals Buffalo in people's minds. Straightening out this misperception is not only good for tourism, but it's good for business, because all economic development starts with a visit. Fixing that knowledge gap will have an immediate impact in visitation and in sales revenue for New York State, and will make business development easier as well. So now let's talk about Niagara Falls, which enjoys 8 million visitors despite the lack of critical infrastructure in that asset and the surrounding area. The infrastructure problems are both intermodal within our region, getting people around, as well as the assets outside the state park. And yet, we look across the river to Niagara Falls, Canada, that has a vibrant and teeming, and if I might say, not as strong, very commercialized experience for visitation, and we have tens of millions of people visiting there. We really believe that the proper investments in Niagara Falls, New York, coupled with our assets in Buffalo, will give us a world-class destination where tourism will continue to have a major, major role here. We've had some early success in targeting of cultural travelers here. In Buffalo, we've seen 100,000 net new visits over the past 3 years, and it's something that we're really proud of. And the ROI that we've experienced is even larger than the 5-to-1 ROI presented in the plan. We have one program we hope will prove in January had a 30-to-1 ROI in spending. It's not on the slide, but I would be remiss in not talking very briefly about Canada and how important Canada is for tourism. They play a large role. My counterpart, John Percy, and I, together, we did a study of the behavior of Canadian shoppers this year, and $931 million of visitor spending happens in our region thanks to the people in the Greater Toronto Area. And they come down here about 3 times a year, and they spend the night about once. We believe, and that has happened generally almost organically with no real marketing. And yet about 40% of those people who make the drive down decide within the week to come. That's a marketing person's dream. So if we can get in front of them and incentivize them with everything else there is to see and do here, we think we can take those visits from 3 a year to 4 a year. And that would have hundreds of millions of economic value of economic impact. So the plan that you're going to see that Mayor Dyser is going to present to us now addresses both these short-term opportunities, this pent-up demand for with better marketing that we can bring more tourists here, as well as the longer-term structural improvements that will sustain tourism for the future. Mayor Dyser?
Thanks, Dottie. So, Governor, 8 million people come to Niagara Falls each year, but they're not staying long enough. They're not visiting other places in the region before they leave, and they're not spending enough money while they're here. Some people would see that as a problem, but we see it as an opportunity to transform the tourism industry in the Buffalo-Niagara region make tourism a difference maker in job creation and investment for a long time to come. So how do we do that? First, we need to do some research, because although we know a lot of things about tourism, as Dottie pointed out, we don't know enough about who's coming here or what we can do to get them to stay longer and spend more money. So we're going to find out. That won't just be knowledge for knowledge's sake. We're going to develop a marketing and promotional strategy that will deliver the maximum bang for the buck, targeting future high-growth segments of the tourism market and making effective use of emerging social media. That research can also guide targeted investments in tourism assets in the city of Buffalo. Historic, architectural, and cultural assets our research shows people would want to visit if they knew about them, but that need a little help to get ready for prime time and become visitor-ready. Second, we're going to create ways for people to have more fun in our Niagara Falls parks. We're going to find private sector partners to help expand all kinds of outdoor opportunities in a way that is environmentally sensitive and sustainable. Bicycling, fishing, bird watching, trekking, horseback riding, zip lining, rock climbing, rappelling, cross-country skiing, if there's enough snow, and heritage-based tours on everything from Tesla and history of electricity to Harriet Tubman and the Underground Railroad. We're going to explore them all. These efforts can begin immediately. Where we find we need infrastructure improvements to support new activities, new trails, paths, or signage, or reuse or refurbishment of vacant or underutilized park buildings, or improved connections between the park and the city that require changes to the Robert Moses Parkway, or whatever, then we're going to make those improvements. Third and finally, we're going to address the downtown Niagara Falls challenge. You would think that the areas of the city nearest to the state park would be the most vibrant in the city, but no. A failed urban renewal effort of the 1960s and 70s left surprisingly few tourism amenities within a three-block radius. That's a big problem, not only for the city of Niagara Falls, but for the whole region, because this is the place where people walking out of the park or crossing over from Canada get their first exposure, not only to the city of Niagara Falls, but to New York State, and even in many cases, to the United States of America. Governor, my late mother always told me you only get one chance to make a first impression. We're not going to blow ours. In partnership with Empire State Development and USA Niagara Development Corporation, we've made a strong start downtown with the Culinary Institute and other recent projects, but we need more. More critical mass, more investment, more quality development, more things for people, especially families, to do in downtown Niagara Falls. More of everything from attractions to entertainment to lodging to retail to food and beverage. So we're going to launch a competition, the Downtown Niagara Falls Challenge, to select a team of designers, developers, and operators to execute development of a signature project on a key parcel downtown near the entrance to the state park, attracting the talent of the world's leading architectural firms and tourism industry operators. We're going to acquire the parcel on which to build the winning design, and as part of that design, we're going to solicit ideas for developments on nearby parcels, including the portions of the Rainbow Mall not used for the Culinary Institute. We're going to pursue those as well. Governor, Niagara Falls is a very famous place. It can be either an anchor holding our region back or an engine pulling it forward. There is no middle path. We are determined to make Niagara Falls an engine, not an anchor. At the end of our five-year plan, we want to see Niagara Falls transformed from a roadside visitor attraction to the centerpiece of an integrated regional tourism destination that helps create jobs and spur investments not only in Niagara Falls, but in the city of Buffalo and beyond throughout Western New York. Thank you.
From one side of the table talking about our industry's focus industry sectors to the other side of the table to discuss our enablers. Enablers are entrepreneurship, workforce development, revitalization, or smart growth. And the enablers help all the sectors of our economy, including our focus sectors, grow. It helps to unleash the potential of the economy of Western New York and take advantage of our assets. We're going to start with entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurs create jobs, and in so doing, they create the future. We value entrepreneurship, and frankly, we don't have enough entrepreneurs, and we have to change that. To some extent, this is our Achilles heel. I am pleased to introduce Jennifer Parker, an entrepreneur in her own right with Black Capital Network, and Tao Baalbek, principal with the private equity firm Mercury Capital Partners. So we have an entrepreneur and we have an investor, a great duo to talk about entrepreneurship.
Yes, good morning. As we know, entrepreneurship and innovation are key drivers of employment and economic growth. So how are we doing in this region? The news is encouraging. A foundation has been laid that we can build upon. So that leads into our Buffalo assets. What are our assets? High-quality institutions that could drive innovation in the region. For example, the University of Buffalo has $350 million in research expenditures and houses the Center for Entrepreneurial Leadership. The UB Center for Entrepreneurial Leadership mission is to unlock human potential, create jobs, inspire wealth, and really grow the existing businesses that we have. Now, I want to add another dimension of the great institutions we have here. They're the people that are sitting in the seats, in the classrooms. These are young innovative minds. Research shows 21 to 35-year-olds are leading a new entrepreneurial revolution. This age group is more likely to start a business right out of college than the baby boomer generation. Our second asset, existing presence in innovation industries such as life sciences and healthcare. Our third asset, we're starting to form innovation hubs, such as in the Buffalo Niagara Medical Campus, which is a gem for this region, recognizing that tools and support are needed to assist in cultivating growth businesses. The campus opened an innovation center, a research and development space housing life sciences and biotech companies, and professional support services. Also, another innovation hub is Z80. I love that name. Z80, recognizing the creativity of the younger, more tech-savvy generation, developed a technology incubator with the goal to reignite the internet-based technology sector in the Buffalo area. And I would like to add a point four that's not up there. The region's growing immigrant population. In the U.S., the immigrant population and minority self-employment is experiencing a boom. Research by the Kauffman Foundation has found that our new immigrants are very entrepreneurial. Our opportunities. Buffalo Niagara experienced low net business startup relative to peer cities. Although Buffalo Niagara has a significant entrepreneurial history, the region has experienced poor business growth from 2003 to 2008. I would not call these the dark years. Maybe we were just in a thinking mode, adjusting to a new economy, changing economy, and we're there now. The region, although as a Buffalonian, I know we are innovative people. However, we have a low patent production. Buffalo Niagara ranked 87th out of 374 nationally. We're changing it. Also, another opportunity is low venture capital. 0.29% of VC deals nationally by value in quarter two of 2012, and only 23 invested in startups and early stage business ventures. Well, it appears that we have a segregation problem. National reports list Buffalo as a segregated city, ranked as the sixth most segregated in the nation. This position has a negative impact on the economic inclusion, directly impacting small business development and growth and employment. However, all is not bad. We are making things happen in this region, and we're addressing these issues. Our strategy and vision for entrepreneurship, Buffalo Niagara will become a place where entrepreneurs from a multitude of backgrounds are eager to start a business, are ready to grow it aggressively because it's easier here than anywhere else, and we're strongly attracted by investment opportunities. Well, I'm proud to say that this strategy will also include economic inclusion through minority and women business enterprise entrepreneurship. With this plan, all ships should rise with the rising tide. Building on your lead, Governor, we agree New York works for business and New York works for MWBEs. A welcome sign to all entrepreneurs with an emphasis on MWBEs to encourage business development and growth will not only create a new brand for Buffalo in reference to race relations, but MWBEs will assist in creating new jobs. To provide details in reference to the Entrepreneurship Signature Initiative, I would like to introduce Mr. Teo Babak.
Thank you. So given that we have this incredibly large pool of R&D, $350 million, and given that we have this incredibly low amount of risk capital deployment and net new firm creation, patent generation, what do we do about it? How do we reverse the cycle that we have? And particularly, how do we lay in a process that will generate a long-term sustainable culture of entrepreneurship? We want to focus on two areas, the entrepreneurial community and the risk capital community. We have a lot of risk capital investors here who get on a plane to do their job in other cities. We have a lot of entrepreneurs who get on a plane to go raise money in other cities. We would like to start this process by launching an internationally recognized business plan competition, the Buffalo Business Breakthrough Competition. This competition will be nationally marketed, internationally marketed. It will have multiple prizes of $500,000 each. It will have a focus on life sciences, but not an exclusive focus. It will have a category designed and focused on both minority and women-owned businesses. The business plan competition is just supposed to be a point of energy, which will launch several other initiatives, particularly a group of incubators focused on taking the winners of this business plan competition and growing them, and lastly, hoping to attract venture capital firms, blue-chip firms from around the company to come. First, we'll get them to come and help judge the business plan competition, and then over time to invest in our companies and help them grow to the next level.
We have too many people looking for jobs and too many jobs that are looking for people. Today's economy places a premium on skilled workforce, efficient training, retraining, and aligning talent with the changing job requirements. We're proud indeed to have Chris Sansone, president of Buffalo Niagara Manufacturers Alliance, and Clotilde Perez-Bode-Decker, president and CEO of the Community Foundation for Greater Buffalo, to present on workforce development.
Good morning, Governor, Lieutenant Governor. My name is Chris Sansone, and I represent the Buffalo Niagara Manufacturing Alliance, otherwise known as the BNMA. I'd like to thank ESD's Christina Orzi for inviting the BNMA here today. It is certainly an honor to present the Workforce Development Initiative here today. Before we dive into the details of workforce development, Governor, I'd like to engage the audience for a little bit here. I have a few questions, and just fair warning, this is mandatory, so please, we need full participation. Please raise your hand for those of you who have had a grandparent that worked in manufacturing. Okay. For those of you who had a parent that worked in manufacturing. Okay. How many of those of you in the room today were encouraged at the high school level to pursue a skilled trades career? How many of you at the high school level? Okay. How many of you currently work in manufacturing? Last question. How many of you would encourage your children to pursue a career in a skilled trade? Okay. So, given the hands, Governor, this is representative of the issue that manufacturers locally, across the state, and nationally are facing today. Manufacturing is still relevant in Western New York, and we have an opportunity to bring new work from outside our region. However, a lack A lack of skilled workers in the labor pool pipeline is a major hurdle that we need to address in order to grow our manufacturing base. The BNMA represents over 4,000 regional manufacturing and service-related employees across 100 member companies. Overwhelming interest in the BNMA has led to unprecedented growth as our member companies look for employment solutions from within our alliance as well as with local, regional, and national leaders. Here are some of the challenges that we faced in 2012. Many of our member companies had manufacturing positions that could not be filled due to the lack of qualified candidates. This led to companies to either steal employees from other local manufacturers, implement expensive apprenticeship programs, or to simply turn away work. It has been stated by some of our members that it takes approximately 1 year of on-the-job training before a new employee becomes a productive, profitable resource. In addition, many of our member companies have a large contingent of 50-plus-year-olds working for them. So although we have a problem today filling vacant positions, we have an even bigger challenge in 5 to 10 years trying to replace our aging workforce with our next generation machinists, mechanics, welders, and electricians. We also have the problem of not knowing what workforce development programs are in existence today. We lack that regional one-stop shop for these programs. In addition, we have a diverse population in Western New York. However, we lack diversity in our current manufacturing labor pool. So as manufacturers, we face many short and long-term workforce challenges that need to be addressed now. So with that, I'd like to hand it over to my colleague, Clotilde, to discuss our three workforce development initiatives. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Good morning. So as Chris has illustrated, we have a skills gap in the talent pool, which is further compounded by a fractured, disconnected series of workforce programs. The strength of our workforce is the lifeblood of our regional economy. The Buffalo-Niagara Skills Partnership will be an umbrella organization which acts as a skill broker, connecting the dots by facilitating the interactions between employers, job seekers, K-12 education, and community-based training programs, resulting in a workforce ecosystem which is aligned with employer needs. By formally convening and coordinating the landscape of stakeholders, the Skills Partnership will create a multiple entry, employer-facing pipeline of talent development. Initial investments will deliver sustainable short-term and long-term approaches by supporting the expansion of rapid right-skilling programs and the creation of high school to career pathways to address employer needs to high-demand occupations. Rapid right skilling includes 15 to 24 week programs with proven track records, which are at capacity and need additional facilities, faculty, and equipment to adequately address the demand in critical industries like manufacturing. The Skills Partnership will also leverage Say Yes Buffalo, a robust public-private collaboration to create career pathways aligned with academic, social, and health supports to connect a diverse pool of inner-city youth with high-demand occupations, which will lead to job placements within 18 to 24 months, again, in core industries such as manufacturing, life sciences, and tourism. To further incentivize success, these students will also benefit from full-tuition post-secondary scholarships. These investments will have a multiplier effect, which will yield transformational outcomes for generations to come. Our goal is to create the most flexible and inclusive, industry-driven workforce training environment to prepare workers for employment and to allow local businesses to grow and flourish. Thank you.
Thank you. The Buffalo Billion goals included reducing poverty, segregation, and blight in the city of Buffalo. Since the inception of our regional council, we have focused on smart growth as one of our major focus areas, particularly investments in the livability of downtown, urban core, and town centers. We are, of course, honored to have the Honorable Mayor Byron Brown, and as well honored to have Aaron Bartley, co-founder and executive director of Push Buffalo.
Thank you, Howard. Governor Cuomo, Lieutenant Governor Duffy, welcome back to the Buffalo-Niagara region, and we appreciate you bringing the warm weather and sunshine with you. Governor Cuomo, on behalf of the people of Buffalo, thank you for your extraordinary commitment to Buffalo by pledging $1 billion to the second largest city in New York State. During the past decade, nearly $2 billion in public and private investment has been made to revitalize Buffalo's downtown core. Over the next few years, another $500 million in investment will be made, with projects including Harbor Center, the UB Medical School, the John R. Oshai Children's Hospital, and the Catholic Health Administrative and Regional Training Center. In spite of decades of challenge, Buffalo is a city on the verge of transformation. To continue this momentum, more needs to be done to connect centers of activity with each other and their surrounding neighborhoods. These connections must be done in a way that attracts and retains young talent. These connections must also reach out to areas that have yet to experience the benefits of Buffalo's emerging economy. Every resident and each neighborhood must feel part of this change. The city's proposed complete streets grid will strategically link neighborhoods to employment centers and the waterfront along such areas as the Main Street Knowledge Corridor from UB's South Campus to Canal Side, Niagara Street, and the Larkin District. These infrastructure improvements will encourage development in areas with viable markets, strong anchors, and private investment partners, exemplified by Rich Products' announcement last week of an $18.45 million investment in their global headquarters. Since the beginning of my administration in 2006, the city has spent over $74 million in demolition and rehabilitation, reducing the vacant housing rate by 7%. While Buffalo invests approximately $25 million in vacant property management each year, it is not enough to address the massive number of structures in need of demolition or rehabilitation. The city is proposing a focused effort along the east side's major transportation routes to create strong gateways at the city's borders by demolishing and rehabilitating vacant structures and attracting new investment. And finally, the city has identified three key neighborhoods where targeted investments are designed to unleash private development: the Fruit Belt and Michigan Avenue Cultural Corridor, adjacent to the Buffalo Niagara Medical Campus, the Central Park Plaza neighborhood along Main Street, and the Push Green Zone on the city's west side. In each of these cases, there exists a strong market potential and community capacity. However, strategic investment is needed to ensure they reach the elusive tipping point to drive and speed more private development. A strong foundation has been established for Buffalo's revitalization, with clear success in several arenas. Governor Cuomo, with your historic $1 billion commitment, the pace and reach of our renaissance will be accelerated, building a Buffalo that is a world-class city. Now, I'm going to turn things over to Aaron Bartley.
Thank you, Mayor. Governor, Lieutenant Governor, as the Mayor stated, the Better Buffalo Fund will help to address some of Buffalo's most intractable problems, vacant housing and poverty, while bringing much-needed investment to our neighborhoods and commercial districts. We know that cities from Pittsburgh to Portland have proven that promoting smart growth and developing strong, walkable, culturally vibrant neighborhoods are, in and of themselves, powerful tools for economic development and job growth. People from all walks of life, and young people in particular are attracted to livable cities, cities with pedestrian-friendly streets, thriving local businesses, dynamic art scenes, and strong public transportation systems. Buffalo, with our unrivaled Olmsted City Plan, our park system, our strong universities, our arts institutions, our miles of waterfront, our renewable energy resources, historic housing and architecture, we have all the assets we need to become a vibrant city and a place of opportunity for all of our residents. The fund will help us overcome the legacy of decades of sprawl without growth and its negative social impacts, neighborhoods isolated from work sites and needed services. It'll do that by investing strategically in neighborhoods located near growing institutions like the Medical Campus, Canisius College, UB South Campus, and in proximity to key assets like our waterways. Projects enabled by the fund will promote dense, mixed-use neighborhoods with strong small business districts. The fund will also help achieve the promise of our downtown as a 24-hour neighborhood with strong housing options, and it will position downtown for further investment from the private sector. The fund's investments, made twice annually, will leverage other public and private dollars to build the city of the future, where all people can walk to work, access public transportation, and shop locally. The fund will also help to connect key assets like Larkinville and the airport with our downtown core. It'll do that by providing public transportation lines and investing in infrastructure on key routes. Building on our new green code that the mayor has advanced and the momentum that we're already seeing in key neighborhoods like the Fruit Belt, the Promise neighborhood, and the West Side, the fund will work with community-based organizations to define the needs of our neighborhoods and build the capacity to address them. Strong economies develop in livable cities, cities with a strong sense of place, a commitment to equity, and a strategy for leveraging distinctive assets. Through the Regional Council that we have you to thank for, Governor, we've already begun the process of reclaiming our assets and recognizing our unique opportunities. The Better Buffalo Fund will accelerate our quest to make Buffalo the city that we all know it can be. Thank you.
So advanced manufacturing, 1,700 firms, specialization in chemicals and metals, the ability to grow that industry in ways we haven't seen before, an industry that takes advantage of our energy resources and our binational logistics and our location and proximity to Canada and to the rest of the U.S. and Canada, a life science industry that has amazing anchor institutions that gets hundreds of millions of dollars a year in funding and is poised to grow with great density, an incredible tourism industry with iconic attractions like Niagara Falls and world-recognized brands like Frank Lloyd Wright, Frederick Law Olmsted, Picasso, art like you couldn't imagine anywhere else. The ability to create vibrancy in our downtowns and attract and retain young people. We've lost way too many young people over time. We need to give them the job opportunities on this side of the room. We need to continue to advance the vitality and vibrancy of our downtown. A workforce development program that gives people the opportunity that they haven't had. Way too many jobs looking for people, way too many people looking for jobs. You can't grow your economy unless you are able to match the skills with the job opportunity. And when you think about our workforce and our aging workforce, think about how many people are going to be retiring in the next 10 years, and think about how we've lost a generation of people. We have got to put a high emphasis on workforce development and skills training in order to grow this economy. And entrepreneurship, we don't have enough of it. It's the lifeblood of any economy, and our strategies on developing entrepreneurship will continue to put Buffalo in a good position economically. So holistically, through various sectors of the economy and enablers that help to unleash the potential of all of them, we're looking to put together a holistic approach that helps our metropolitan area compete globally. Thank you all. I want to conclude by saying one last thing. In addition to all the people that supported us, and special recognition to our partners at Empire State Development, Sam Hoyt, Christina Orsi, and the entire team Governor, I want you to know they do an amazing job for you and for the people of Western New York. Governor Cuomo.
Thank you very much. I'm going to stand, if that's okay with you, Mr. Zemsky. First, let's give a big round of applause to Howard Zemsky and the whole team for doing a great job. To the mayor, to the county executive, to all my colleagues who are here, who I serve with in Albany, let's give them a round of applause. Pleasure to be with you. To our business leaders and presenters, a really great job. Well done. Thank you very much. Pleasure to be with you. And to Lieutenant Governor Bob Duffy, who has attended hundreds of meetings of the Regional Economic Development Council, not just in Western New York, but all across the state, let's give him a big round of applause. And I'll tell you, the Lieutenant Governor has done double duty for the past month or so. I've been spending a lot of time downstate working on Hurricane Sandy, as you can imagine, and the devastation that happened in downstate New York, and that's been taking almost all of my time. And obviously, there's a lot of other things that have to be going on. And Lieutenant Governor Duffy has been all over the state doing his job, doing half of my job. He's really been fantastic. And I'll tell you one thing about the storm that I don't know that you get on the television. You get the part of the story which is about the devastation. And New York has never gone through anything like this before. 300,000 people with significant damage to their homes. About 280,000 people looking for government assistance, believe it or not, already filed with FEMA, the federal agency. So it's a terrible story of devastation and families who are suffering and families that lost everything in the blink of an eye. Had no idea it was coming. Neighborhoods that never saw rain, never saw a flood like this before were devastated. And that you get in the newspaper and you get that on the TV news. What you don't see is a story of a tremendous outpouring of support from people all across the state who just saw what was going on and got in their car and drove down and showed up and said, I'm here to help. And I can't tell you how many people I met from Western New York. And they would be on the street and who put clothes in their car, who baked goods and brought them down. And they would say, you know, I'm just here to help. I saw what was going on and I just didn't want to sit by. I wanted to do something. And that story is a story you don't hear and a story you don't think about when they talk about New Yorkers, because they want to say, well, you New Yorkers, those are tough, those New Yorkers. You know, it's a big state and it's a varied state. This is also a state made up of caring people and loving people and giving people. And it was an honor to see the sense of community that this state showed and how we were there one for another. And let's give the state of New York and the people in it a round of applause. And let me say this on the presentation. First, a little context, right? We started a journey together 2 years ago. When Bob and I took office, when you gave us the honor of public service, we said that we were going to turn around the state of New York and that we were tired of talking about the problems of New York. We wanted to start to talk about the solutions of New York. And it was an ambitious undertaking because we have had a lot of issues that we've been dealing with for a lot of years. And you know that in Western New York better than most. But it's the same basic story all across the state. And we said we were going to turn that around. We understood the problems, but we were going to turn it around. And to take on an issue like that, you have to first be honest in acknowledging the problem. Denial is not a life strategy. You deny the problem, you're going to wake up with it tomorrow morning and the morning after and the morning after and the morning after. But to admit the problem can often be hard. My grandmother used to say the hardest thing to look at sometimes is the mirror. One of the hardest things to do is to look at yourself and look at your problems and be honest with yourself. And when it came to turning around the state and turning around the economy, the first work had to be done on the state side, the state government side. Because the state had developed a reputation as an anti-business state. New York, the tax capital of the nation, right? That was our reputation. I spent 8 years in Washington during the Clinton administration. I worked in every state, and you'd run into businessmen all across the nation and say you were from New York, and they would smile. That's the anti-business state. That's the tax capital state. We weren't as bad as they said we were, but that was the perception. And if that's the perception, it becomes the reality. And we were losing businesses, and businesses were moving out because we're more mobile, we're more global. Businesses move out, and the young people move out. How many years did we see the young people going to airports to get on planes because they were going to chase the jobs that were elsewhere? The future was elsewhere. So you had to attack that perception. You had to attack the reality. And the truth is, taxes were out of control in the state of New York. Highest taxes, second highest taxes, but a mentality that business felt and people felt that we just didn't care. That it was almost too easy just to raise taxes and raise taxes and raise taxes. And the easiest answer for government is to put its hand in the taxpayer's pocket. We did two things in the past 2 years that dramatically changed that perception and reality. First, we passed the property tax cap, finally, that said local governments can't continue to increase property taxes at exorbitant rates, that they could only increase taxes at 2% a year, or they had to get 60% of the people to vote. This is after years and years of local property taxes going up 7%, 8%, 9%, 10%. I can't tell you how many people said to me, they're imprisoned in their house. They can't afford to sell it because they can't pay off the mortgage, but they can't stay in it because they can't pay the property taxes. So the property tax cap made a big difference there. Second, we said we have to get income taxes under control. And we cut the state income tax rate. We cut the state income tax rate, and New Yorkers this year, up to $300,000 of income per year. We call it the middle class. How the middle class goes up to $300,000, I don't know. But up to $300,000 in income will pay the lowest income tax rate in 58 years, believe it or not. That's cutting taxes, and that's making a real difference. So we did what we had to do on the state side. We made the government work. We stopped the dysfunction. We stopped the gridlock. I applaud my colleagues in the Assembly and in the Senate for doing what they were supposed to do and what they were elected to do and coming to Albany and doing the people's business and putting their own politics aside. And they probably had the most successful, productive legislative session in the past 2 years that we had in modern political history. And I applaud them for it, and so should you. So we started on the state side. We got our house in order. We're making progress, and people are starting to see that it's a different kind of New York. We call it the new New York is underway. That was step one. Step two is then to grow the economy region by region all across the state, which is a different concept. And Howard was speaking to this. Originally, economic development was done with one program that was run out of Albany. And they were going to run one economic development program, and that was going to work all across the state. But we know, and we learned, and we knew years ago, there is no one New York State economy. There are different regional economies. And a regional economy can go up, a regional economy can go down, and in some ways it's disconnected from the other regions. What's going to happen on the Long Island economy is going to have nothing to do with what's going to happen in Western New York. They're two different economies, two different assets, two different sets of liabilities. And if you want to invest in a regional economy, you need a vision that works for that region. And you know where the idea is going to come from? It's not going to come from me in Albany. It's not going to come from Bob Duffy in Albany. It's going to come from Western New York. And there are steps that have to be taken. And you have to look in the mirror, and you have to understand what we've been doing that hasn't been working, and you have to address it. And the first point is we're a region. Well, we know that. No, we really have to know that. We're not the city of Buffalo and the county of Erie and Niagara and Jamestown. It doesn't work that way. I know there are lines on a map that say that, but that's not the way the economy works. We are a region. We are in the same boat. We rise or we fall, and we do it together. And we have to have the political awareness and the civic awareness that we have to function as a region and come together and cooperate and corroborate together if we're going to succeed. It's about partnership in the truest sense of the word. It's not private sector and government and academia. The regions that work are the regions that have those three elements at the same table as part of the same partnership. And it's not enough for businessmen to sit around and say, well, you know, the government, the government, the government. I know the government has issues, but it's your government. It's our government. And if we don't sit down and we don't cooperate, it's not going to work. The big ideas and the big economies all across the country all have the same formula. Ideas are now birthed in institutions of higher education. They come up with a great new idea, great concept, and they then become fertilized in the entrepreneurial private sector to form businesses. That's what's working all across the country. And that's the magic that we had to bring to Western New York. Now, listening to these presentations, the work that's been done over the past year, it truly is extraordinary. And I can't tell you how excited I am and how much progress has been made. And that's what the $1 billion for Buffalo means. Now, $1 billion. $1 billion is a lot of money. It's a lot of money for the state of New York. It's a lot of money in this environment because there is no money in this environment. The economy is very tough, as you know. It's not coming back at the rate we need it to come back. We've been very efficient with tax dollars in Albany. So the $1 billion investment is unique. It's the largest single investment we have made as a state government anywhere. Anywhere. And I want you to understand this, because you know what they say to Bob and me when we go to other regions of the state? Why didn't we get $1 billion like you gave to Buffalo? That's what they say in almost every other region. Why Buffalo? And if they deserve $1 billion, don't we deserve $1 billion? That's the question. And it's not an easy question. We made the largest single investment in Western New York. But I'm proud of it. And I'll tell you what I say when they ask me when I'm not in Western New York. Two things. First, we need to jumpstart the Western New York economy, because it has been a long time coming. And we need to step up. And we need to do it big. And we're not going to do it with little programs here and there and little programs that don't really amount to anything. We have to generate a critical mass and an energy. And we have to change the dynamic. And it's going to take $1 billion to do it. So I'm betting on Buffalo for $1 billion. I then say to them, and you don't know Western New York like I know Western New York. I know Western New York all my life. and I believe in Western New York. I know what they have. I know the schools. I know the workforce. I know the people. I know the culture. I know the history. I'm telling you, Western New York is going to come back, and it's going to be a tremendous economic engine for this state. So I'm not taking money from the taxpayers and spending it in Western New York. I'm investing it in Western New York, and we're going to get dividends for the rest of the state. That's what this is about. And it is working already, because positive begets positive. There is a positive synergy. Success breeds success, and sometimes it takes money to make money. We are going to make Western New York and Buffalo an internationally competitive site. And we've done it before. We have done it with the Capital District region. So we know how to do it. And it's happening here. Just today, we announced a company, AMRI, which is a bio-research firm, does work all across the globe, is going to set up shop in Buffalo in combination, in partnership with the Buffalo Niagara Medical Campus. We're going to invest $50 million. They're going to invest $250 million, and we're going to create 200 jobs. Here's the future. Here's the synergy. This is what Western New York is going to be all about. That's what today is. Let's set as a goal, and let's agree today, that we're tired of talking about yesterday and what Buffalo was and what our grandparents did. And let's talk more about tomorrow and the future, and the community that we're building for our children and our grandchildren, and why the future of Western New York is brighter than the past ever was. And our responsibility as citizens and as parents is to make this place a better place and to leave this place better than we inherited it. And we're going to bring Western New York to a height it's never reached before. That's what we're going to do, and we're going to do it together. Thank you, and God bless you.